Now, the Ark of God was the beautiful golden Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts. This ark was designed by God Himself. It was gold inside and out. It was covered by the golden mercy seat, where two golden cherubims faced each other and their wings touched. And the presence of God was there.
I'm Alice Newsom, and you're listening to the Repurpose and Publish podcast. I've heard it said that graveyard is the most valuable piece of real estate on the planet because it's filled with unrealized dreams, ideas, and visions. This podcast is about denying the grave consumption of the great content locked up in my computer and taking the bold step to share my thoughts and creativity with you. And now, here's more repurposed content from my computer.
I call this biblical story Dagon, the fish god, versus the true God of Israel. To give you some history on Dagon, he was the god of the Philistines, who was half man and half fish. To see some images of Dagon, just Google D-A-G-O-N. We have lots of reading to do, so let's get started. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it before Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off from the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. The hand of the Lord was very heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coasts thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried unto Gath." And they carried the ark of the God of Israel thither. And it was so that after they carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city and with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They've brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with emerods. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. All right, that's the end of chapter 5. And I'm just going to give you an FYI. So FYI, Hebrew and Israel are interchangeable. They are the same people. Sometimes I may say Hebrew, and sometimes I may say Israel, but just remember, they're the same people. Also, I may say Ark of the Covenant, Ark of God, or simply Ark. Just remember, they're all interchangeable. So here's the breakdown of chapter 5. Just one chapter back in 1 Samuel 4, the Hebrew army was at war with the Philistines, and the Philistines were winning. The elders of Israel decided to go and get the Ark of the Covenant, along with the priest, and bring it to the battlefield. They thought this would be their secret weapon to ensure victory over the Philistines, because the golden Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God resides. Now, the priests in charge of the Ark of the Covenant were Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Eli's sons were evil priests who forcefully took the best of the people's sacrifices. They even took God's portion for themselves. They were very promiscuous and slept around with women who helped out in the sanctuary. And when the Ark of the Lord arrived in the Hebrew camp, there were such great shouts of joy, so much so that the scriptures say the earth rang. They were so loud that the Philistines heard their celebration and wondered what was going on. When the Philistines understood the Ark of the Covenant was in the Israelite camp, they panicked. They said, "Oh no, God has come into the Hebrew camp. This is the God that destroyed the Egyptians. Who or what can deliver us from the mighty hand of this God?" Then a man stood up and he said, "Stop it. Stop being wimps. Act like men. Do you want to be slaves to the Hebrews? This is not the time to be afraid. It's time to be strong and fight like men." So that's exactly what the Philistine army did. They fought and slaughtered the Hebrew army. They killed even the priests carrying the ark, Hophni and Phinehas. And they took the Ark of the Covenant. And this is where our story begins, of Dagon, the fish god, versus the true God of Israel. After the slaughter of the Hebrew army, there was one man who escaped to tell the story. When that messenger came to report the tragedy to Eli, the father of the two priests that were slain, he was sitting in his chair. He was an overweight man. And when he heard of his son's death and the capture of the Ark of the Covenant, it was too much for him. He just fell backwards out of the seat and broke his neck. Also, more tragedy struck Phinehas' house. His wife was pregnant and close to her due date. And when she heard the news of her husband's death and her father-in-law's death and the capture of the Ark of the Covenant, it was so overwhelming that she went into hard labor. She delivered her son, but being in such shock and distress, she named him Ichabod. And back then, names had meanings. And this name meant the glory has left Israel. And then she died. Now, there was much celebration in the Philistine camp. After all, they defeated the Hebrew army. And as a bonus, they took the Ark of God home to Ashdod. Now, the Ark of God was the beautiful golden Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts. This Ark was designed by God himself. It was gold inside and out. It was covered by the golden mercy seat, where two golden cherubims faced each other and their wings touched. And the presence of God was there. The Philistines took this ark and decided to place it in the house with their god, Dagon. Seemed like a logical place to put a god. So they set the ark of the true God of Israel beside Dagon. The Philistines rose early in the morning and went to Dagon's temple. And to their surprise, they found Dagon face down before the ark of the true God of Israel. So they picked him up, dusted him off, and sat Dagon back in his place. Early the next morning, they went to see Dagon, and again, they found him face down before the true God of Israel. But this time, his head was severed, and his hands were cut off, and only a stump of Dagon was left. God's hand was so heavy on the people of Ashdod that he destroyed them and gave them tumors in their secret parts, better known as hemorrhoids. The men of Ashdod had enough. They got rid of the ark and sent it away to Gath. Every man in the city of Gath, both great and small, rich and poor, God afflicted with hemorrhoids. So Gath had enough. They got rid of the ark of the God of Israel and sent it to Ekron. And the same thing happened in Ekron. God's hand was so heavy on them, and the men who didn't die, they suffered with hemorrhoids. And they cried so loudly that their cry went up to heaven. Let's see what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviner, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us, wherewith shall we send it to his place?" And they said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then they said, "What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on all of you and on your lords. Wherefore, ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that marred the land, and ye shall give glory to the God of Israel. Peradventure, he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore, then, do not harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now, therefore, make a new cart and take 2 milk kinds on which there has come no yoke, and tie the kind to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it in the cart and put the jewels of gold, which ye shall return him for a trespass offering, in a coffer beside thereof. And send it away, that it may go. And see, if it goes up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he has done this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was just a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took 2 milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emerod. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. They lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. The ark came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. That was a mouthful. Now it's time to break down chapter 6. Starts off by telling us the ark was in the Philistine territory for 7 months. And the Philistines sent the ark from city to city, but they only had the same devastating results. They endured hemorrhoids and the death of the young and old, rich and poor for 7 months. Now, this chapter reveals that there was an invasion of mice, and perhaps the death came from bubonic plague. But they were at their wits' end, and they called for the priest and for the fortune tellers for strategies to get rid of the Ark of God and send it back to the Hebrew people. It's like they came to the conclusion, yes, this is a magnificent piece of artwork. It's beautifully crafted. It's an exquisite chest with two gold cherubims on top facing each other with their wings touching. It's beautiful. It's a great looking prize. It's not worth it, and it's gotta go. But how do we get rid of it? Forever. So they sought advice from their diviners, their astrologers, and they were advised to send the Ark of the Lord back to the Hebrew people, but not empty. They said, you've offended this God and you made him angry, so send him a trespass offering. Then you'll know why this happened to you. The people were confused and said, what trespass offering shall we send him? The advisor said, well, as you can see, he requires the purest metal in the land, gold. So make him 5 golden images of emeralds to represent your 5 rulers and 5 golden mice to represent each Philistine city ruined by the plague in your land. And give glory to the God of Israel. Maybe then he'll lighten his hand off of you and off your gods and off your land. Listen carefully. Don't be like Pharaoh and the Egyptians and harden your heart. You'll make him even angrier. So the people listened, and they prepared the offering as instructed. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and placed their trespass offering beside it, hitched it to 2 cows who had never been hitched before, placed it on the road, and sent it on its way. They said, you know, the Hebrew territory is this way, but don't put the cows in that direction. Send them on their way, follow them, and see if the cows can get there on their own. If they make it miles away to the Hebrew territory without our help, then we will certainly know that the God of Israel brought this tragedy on us. If they go another route and end up someplace else, then it's just something that happened to us by chance. Well, the 5 Philistine rulers followed the cows that went straight to the Hebrew territory of Beth Shemesh. It was harvesting season, and the Hebrews were in the field with their sickles cutting wheat when suddenly their eyes were blinded by the bright glare of sun rays bouncing off the golden object off in the distance. I imagine they said, what is that? Am I seeing things? Could it be? Could it be the Ark of God coming home? They were ecstatic. They threw down their sickles and excitedly raced to the Ark of God. There was great celebration with burnt offerings and sacrifices to God. The Hebrew people rejoiced and glorified God as the presence of the true God of Israel had returned home. The 5 Philistine rulers watched the celebration from a distance. They were relieved that this 7-month-long nightmare was over. However, there was no doubt in any of their minds that this calamity did not happen by chance, but it was the true God of Israel who brought this calamity on the Philistine people. Well, that's the story of Dagon, the fish god, versus the true God of Israel. I hope you enjoyed the story.
Hello, I'm Galene, your host from Let's Meet the Author. I want to go ahead and boast about one of my authors who premiered in the first season, Alice Newsom. I have read her book over and over, and I cannot put it down. I have recommended to my sisters, I recommend to my mom, to my aunties, and even the male members in my family. finally, there's a book that talks about the women of the Bible. All right. And also, it gives juicy details about the lives of Jesus' ancestors. The book is called The Sordid Lives of Jesus' Ancestors. Every family has skeletons in their closet. Jesus' family does too. You gotta get your own copy. Go to alicenewsom.com and go ahead and read it and find out all the secrets of Jesus' ancestors. alicenewsom.com. Get your copy today. You will not regret it.
I've been busy. I've recorded an audiobook too. Now, the audiobook is a convenient way to hear the stories of the women in Jesus' family tree as you go about your day. I'm the narrator, and it comes with a special audiobook companion document. Get your audiobook now. If you are anything like I am, then you have a stored collection of stories and lessons. I encourage you to get that content out of your mind, out of your device, out of your journal, and share it with the world. Enrich someone's life because they are waiting for you. That's a wrap. Another podcast is in the books. It's published. And I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to share it and subscribe to get each episode as it becomes available. And please, leave a review. Visit my website, alicenewsom.com. Remember to repurpose and publish. Thanks for listening.